Now, I'm joined on the phone by Paddy McGeoghan. Paddy, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. Paddy, you're here now as Advocacy and Communications Manager for Epilepsy Ireland, and you have a sort of a fundraising week coming up. Do you want to talk to us about that?
Yeah. So it's quite an important week for us. I suppose I don't really need to go into detail about the impact the last 2 years have had. It's all affected us personally, but on an organisational point of view, we have seen our fundraised income drop by almost by 50% over the last 2 years. And that's because as a community-based organisation, we haven't been able to have community-based fundraising events due to the need to social distance and stay safe, rightly so. But with things getting back to normal a bit more in the last couple of months, we're really appealing for public support to help support our services, our awareness-raising activities, our advocacy campaigns. Really appealing to your listeners, if they can, to please donate on our website and support our Rose Week campaign.
Yeah, and that's running from the 10th to the 16th of this month.
The 16th, yeah. And there will be a number of our volunteers dotted around Cork, fundraising on our behalf, selling roses. So if you see them, do get a rose pin. No matter the size of the donation, it will do a great help for us.
Absolutely. Now, Paddy, I shouldn't be surprised, but I was surprised when I saw it. There's about 45,000 people in Ireland have epilepsy.
Yeah, it's and you wouldn't be the first one to be surprised, because I think people, well, we know actually, because in a survey we recently did alongside Amaric Research, we surveyed 1,200 members of the public, and there's certainly a belief out there that epilepsy is quite rare. I'm here to say that that is not the case. As you just said, there's over 45,000 people living with epilepsy in Ireland, and they are your neighbours, your family, your friends. So it's crucial that people are more aware of epilepsy, because it is really, really much more common than what the public think.
Absolutely. And I was even more surprised, and again, I shouldn't be, but I was even more surprised by the fact that that includes between 10 and 15,000 people with uncontrolled seizures. That is ferocious.
Yeah, and obviously epilepsy for those particular group of people is a much, much more difficult journey. I suppose with the right treatment being identified in a person's case, up to 70% of people will go on to become seizure-free. It's not just a matter of picking the first medication with a person with epilepsy, and it actually works, and it can be a journey in terms of picking it and getting it right. So a person could go through a number of medications to become seizure-free. But for that 30%, epilepsy is obviously much, much more difficult, and seizures are a part of daily and daily life for them, and for that reason, things can be much more difficult in terms of social isolation, employment, and all the likes. And it wouldn't take someone too much imagination to imagine what the difficulties can be for people in that situation.
And we'll say, going back to employment, Paddy, and is there a lot of, there used to be a lot of problems, certain jobs were certainly not open to people with epilepsy. Does that still hold?
There's always room for more understanding and awareness of epilepsy in workplaces. But like actually in the same survey I just talked about in reference there earlier on, we are seeing encouraging signs of that, because 80% of the public came back to say that, they didn't feel like epilepsy would be a barrier to someone entering the workforce. Now, as you say, in the past, that certainly wouldn't have been the situation. It would have been front and center. So it does kind of show that the increased awareness around the condition and understanding of it is working. But that's not to say that people don't face issues and misunderstandings and myths about the condition as well, because myths didn't happen overnight, and they're not going to go away overnight. And I suppose that's why the awareness raising work that we do is so important in terms of increasing that understanding of epilepsy.
Absolutely. And as I say, part of your role is for advocacy. And I see that you're looking for improved access to free travel. I would have thought this is sort of a no-brainer, to tell you nothing but the truth. Are you meeting a lot of resistance?
We're not, in the sense that certainly when we're talking to TDs and senators, everyone believes that this should happen. There is broad support for it. And I suppose to just give a bit more of an explanation around the basis of what we're campaigning on. For people with epilepsy, the diagnosis, if they're diagnosed and they hold a license, they'll immediately lose their license until they become 1 year seizure free. Other people with epilepsy, as we discussed, will never actually be able to drive because of, you know, the prevalence of the seizures. But at the minute, the free travel scheme is attached to disability allowance and invalidity pension. So people in those situations wouldn't actually, and in their case, may not potentially qualify for disability allowance and invalidity pension, but they would still have the impact of their epilepsy keeping them off the road. That can lead to all sort of, you know, issues in terms of, you know, social isolation, you know, traveling to work, simple things in terms of bringing kids to school and whatnot. And what we're saying, quite simply, is that for people in that situation who have had their license taken away from them due to their epilepsy by the state, for the period that person's off the road, they should be allowed to apply for direct access to the free travel pass. And I think probably most of your listeners will agree that's quite a simple measure, and you know it's one that would make a huge impact in the day-to-day life of many people with epilepsy. It's probably the number one thing that some of our service users talk to us about the difficulties around access to travel.
Yeah, you're not even looking for free travel for all the 45,000. You're looking for free travel for those, we'll say, who are off the road for the year. And I mean, that's hugely inconvenient to people. And one of the problems with that, Paddy, is that people may not necessarily report that they had a fit, because so there's a safety issue for everybody there. But I think free travel would be a huge bonus to people. What sort of arguments, we'll say, are the government coming up why they don't bring it in?
So at the minute they are, we've been working on this campaign for a while now, but you know, officially we submitted a pre-budget submission back in the last budget in 2022. Now that led to it didn't lead to any developments in the budget, but it did lead to, you know, meetings with the minister and department official, which is the first time we finally got in front of the responsible minister and officials. Since then, they have been investigating exactly what we're saying and why. And you know, I have to acknowledge that there does seem to be active work going on, although it's not actually taking the form of action. We resubmitted it to draw attention again to this year, but you know, as the parliamentary questions replies have come back, they've continued to say this is continuing to be investigated. The worry is, I suppose, from the departmental point of view, and you'd probably see it in the Dáil record if you searched it. It's not just they're looking at the wider scope of what our proposal. So we're obviously talking about epilepsy. We're Epilepsy Ireland is all we can talk about. The department's looking at the wider, you know, in terms of how many people will this open the doors to free travel for. That seems to be what their counter argument is.
Do you think they're sort of worried that if they give it to epileptics, well, then they're going to have to give it to diabetics as well, etc., or whatever other group, if you know what I mean?
That's exactly what it seems to be. But, you know, from our point of view, we know this is an issue affecting our patient group. We can only speak about epilepsy. We can't speak about any other conditions. We know it's an issue presenting. We feel that what we've put forward is logical. It makes sense. And even, you know, taking in other conditions, what we're saying is that the free travel scheme needs to have a direct application route. So that means, if hypothetically speaking, if I were to develop epilepsy in the morning and lost my license, that I will be able to apply directly to the department for a free travel pass, showing them like a medical letter that I've been put off the road for a year. And, you know, that doesn't really call into question any condition or anything like that. That is just pure medical evidence. This person cannot drive for at least a year because of their condition. That could be done across a number of conditions, really, and it's not showing favouritism. So that's a point we have put forward as part of our sort of campaign around access to free travel. And we have kind of put the department's arguments back at them. And, you know, if anyone is interested in supporting the campaign, it is sitting up on our website there. You'll see exactly what we've put forward. And you can see a template letter there actually as well to, you know, get in contact with your local TD and support our cause, because I think, you know, again, going back, everyone feels like this is a no-brainer. No one really opposes it. It's just getting it through at the departmental level.
Getting somebody to make a decision, really. I mean, if you think of it, we've thrown billions at COVID, we've thrown billions at Ukraine, and this doesn't seem like an awful lot more money, you know?
Certainly not. And again, specifically around epilepsy is what we're talking, but we estimate, and again, this is us using the figure from the outside rather than the inside, but we estimate that what we're proposing would cost 600,000 for the group of people. So, 600,000 is obviously a lot of money, but in terms of the state budget, it's not. In terms of the money that we've just heard about going out in the budget last week, for example, it's really a drop in the ocean, and it would have a huge, huge impact. Another argument we've made in relation to it as well is that some people actually end up having to give up their work because of the accessibility issues that they face. And what happens to them is they end up on state schemes anyway. So it's actually cost effective in our view that you would help someone keep societally, productive and avoid social isolation through the cost of a free travel pass rather than the cost of a weekly job seekers payment, for example. But the campaign continues on it. We're continuing to use sort of every avenue open to us in terms of keeping the pressure on the department, keeping in contact with the department as well, and also using all TDs of all parties and none to help support the campaign. And hopefully, with continued pressure and support, we can get it over the line.
Yeah, as you say, it seems like a no-brainer. Let's go back to Rose Week, though, Paddy. How can our listeners help?
Well, number one, I suppose if you see some of our volunteers out and about in Cork or throughout the county, they'll be selling rose pins. So if you can, please buy one and show your support that way. Throughout social media, we're on all the social media channels, so you know where to find us, I suppose. We'll be sharing, I suppose, some of the impact of our work and why we need support. For example, in the last couple of weeks, again, we're delighted to do this, but again, it needs the support of the public. We committed just under 340,000 to a series of epilepsy research projects. But without the support of the public, that wouldn't have been possible. We want to continue to do that, to learn more about epilepsy, understand it, to develop treatments for it. So that would be one sort of example of our impact. We've also experienced record demand for our services across the country. Over 22,000 contacts last year, including obviously in Cork. We have an office in Cork. So throughout the week, we'll be highlighting that on our social media channels. So do visit Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, the likes, and you'll see some of the impact and why we need further support. And you can make a donation directly on our website. So that's kind of two key measures. And also, if you're not able to donate, that's totally understandable. But maybe a like and a share would go a long way as well, just, to make people aware that this fundraising week is ongoing. And like, as I said at the very, very outset, any donation, no matter the size, will go a long way for us, especially in these trying times.
Absolutely. And if people are interested in learning more and getting involved, they can email you at fundraising@epilepsy.ie.
That's the one. And just obviously on our website as well, www.epilepsy.ie, you'll find further information about epilepsy, the advocacy campaigns, what to do in the event of a seizure, and also just to mention our Cork office is in Ballacolly, in the Muskerry estate, and we have Niamh and Sharon, two of our wonderful community resource officers. I'm not going to give you both the mobile numbers, but if you call 01-455-7500, that's our head office number, if you need information or support from either Sharon or Niamh, we can link you in with them.
Okay, and we can put that up on our webpage. Look, Paddy McGeoghegan, have I pronounced it right again, Paddy?
Yeah, I was very impressed with the way you did it. Well.
I'll have to spend some time in Donegal, which would not be a bad thing to do. Paddy, look, thank you very, very much for taking part and for the phone call.
Thanks a million. Pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, Paddy, bye.